Jehovah, who created the heavens and the earth out of nothing, who rules in heaven and on earth as he wills, and no one can stay his hand, is my shepherd. So I shall not want anything. He guides me in the ways that I should go, that his name might be honored and glorified and praised through my life. And even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I do not fear evil. For my Lord, my shepherd, is with me. We're constantly reminded of the brevity of life. Just recently, the moderator of the OPC, David Haney, died unexpectedly at the age of 56. As a police chaplain, I am repeatedly reminded that death is a constant, striking suddenly and unexpectedly. And it's not a respecter of persons, rich, poor, young, as well as old, all die. Unless Christ comes soon, we shall all die. Ever since Adam, death has plagued mankind. Hebrews 9:27 reminds us that it is appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. Romans 5:12, Paul writes, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Everyone dies. No one escapes this life without death. You will die. And you will die sooner than you imagine. Sin and death. Sin and death, a deadly combination. Sin brought death, death brings judgment. Death, followed by judgment of a holy, righteous God, brings fear. And death's shadow can be a haunting hopelessness, fear, and anger in our hearts. Notice David is expressing something very personal here. It's not a general thing. It's not a generic thing. He says, though I walk. How many times did David personally experience the threats of death? Think of young David, a young teenager, out in the hills of Israel, miles from home. No communication from anyone, no cell phones back then. Some of you do not know life apart from cell phones. He's all alone out there with just the sheep and bears and lions out to harm the sheep. And young David battled them, protecting the sheep, even on occasion battling them to the death. Another time David faced death at the hands of Goliath. Goliath was a giant. He was a veteran warrior. He had a lot of notches on his belt. He was intimidating. In fact, not a single trained soldier of King Saul was willing to fight him. And yet young David, he was too young to be in the army. Not only met him one-on-one, but by God's grace defeated him with a slingshot. So King Saul offered David his daughter, his second oldest daughter, as a wife in reward. But King David was already a little jealous of David. And so Saul required him to go out and kill 200 wicked Philistines as a bride payment. And he was actually hoping that the Philistines would take care of David for him. And again, David faced death. By the grace of God, he prevailed and he killed the 200 Philistines. And he married King Saul's daughter. David's life was constantly threatened. He was constantly dealing with death. He was walking constantly through that valley of shadows of deep darkness with a cold breath of death blowing all around him. As King Saul, as the Philistines all sought to kill him. But in all these circumstances, David put his trust in the Lord. He was confident of God's care for him. And he could face these times of darkness, these times of threats and death without fear. Look at verse 4. Because here I should mention that literally what David is saying is, though I walk through the valley of deep darkness, it's an expression, it's often used in the scripture of death, but it's really broader than that. So the background would be springtime, and the shepherd would take his sheep from the winter pasture that's close to home in the low country to the summer pasture, which would be up in the cooler mountains. But to get there, they would have to go through dangerous trails in the mountains. And when you get into the mountains, even during the day, there can be dark shadows. Evening comes early in the valleys. And in those shadows, the treacherous and dangerous trails would bring a little fear. So valley of deep darkness is an expression of things that are foreboding. Threats of destruction and harm. Shadows of death and darkness that bring fear to our hearts. I don't know if you've ever experienced night terrors. They're not unusual. Not nightmares, night terrors, where there's an overwhelming sense of darkness, of being actually engulfed in blackness that you can feel. Psalm 91 speaks of being afraid of the terror of night. So the valley of deep darkness points to death and the threats of death and times of hopelessness and depression and despair and discouragement. And these are all universal issues, not just with David, and perhaps not just with you. Christians can do battle with these fears as well. That great hymn writer, William Cowper, had tremendous bouts of depression and terror of night. His friend John Newton, that would be the captain of a slave trading ship and pretty wicked man that God brought to Christ. John Newton tried to encourage him and help him through these times. And for a time, they got together weekly. And Newton would have Cowper write hymns of worship to get his mind away from his troubles, which he'd mentioned in his hymns, but pointing to Christ. And it not only helped Cowper in his battles with the terrors of night, but gave us some wonderful hymns as well that touch our fears while pointing us to the answer, the shepherd himself. Because of sin, we all deal with these times of darkness, times of doubt, times of fear, times of uncertainty, times when we doubt our salvation, perhaps, times when we doubt God's love for us, God's care for us. We can even see all of life as dark and foreboding and hopeless. But for the Christian, for those who are in Christ, there is hope. There is a reason for gladness and joy. David reminds us that in such times when we are in dark valleys, he says, I will fear no evil. How can he say that? This word fear is a simple word. There's nothing special about it. It just means to be afraid. And a little fear is a healthy thing, isn't it? It keeps you from hurting yourself. Coming back from Oregon, we saw more accidents and rollovers than I'd ever seen, probably total before that. Numbers of them. And the fear of doing the same caused me not to do the posted 80 miles per hour in the Rocky Mountains. And I slowed down. Fear keeps you from doing things that might harm you. So it's a good thing. But David's not talking about that kind of fear. He's talking about being scared and fearful of the future. Scared that I might die. Scared that some kind of uncontrollable harm might come to me. And in particular, he's speaking of that fear of evil. The word evil is used in two ways in the Bible. First, it's used of moral evil, of wickedness. Satan is evil. But it's also used of bad things. So the Bible uses evil in kind of a broad way of calamity and tragedy and storms that come into our lives, literal storms and figurative storms. Job uses this word in reference to the losses that he experienced. The great losses. He lost his children. He lost all his wealth that was stolen from him. His cattle, livestock driven off, his house destroyed. And on it went until finally his health. It was evil, he said. Primarily in this sense that evil is used in Psalm 23. The hard, difficult things that come into our lives. Facing danger. Death. The attacks of Satan. Cancer. Hard, difficult things that come into our lives. Financial problems. Too much rain. So that farmers cannot even harvest their crops. As these difficult things, these hard things come into our lives, like sheep, we're often consumed with fear. Perhaps hopelessness and despair. Fear of what might be, fear of what could be. More often than not, fear of things that will never be. And shadows of deep darkness can overwhelm us. And we can become frantic. We can become panicky. We can lose sleep. We can despair. And our minds are filled with darkness. But David says he will fear no evil. He'll fear neither the attacks of Satan nor the adversities of life. How can David face death and chaos and loss time and again? How can he put his life at risk and face enemies intent on killing him and not be afraid? Because, he says, the good shepherd is with him. When Absalom rebelled against his father, David was forced to flee Jerusalem. His life was in jeopardy. The The nation of Israel seemed to be siding with his son Absalom, and he's fleeing for his life with a few close friends. But he'd not only been betrayed by Absalom, he'd also been betrayed by a number of his close friends and advisors. Talk about the valley of the shadow of death. Talk about darkness. Here's David's response. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 25. Then David said to Zadok, "Carry the ark of God back into the city." So the priests had brought the ark out of Jerusalem to keep it with David rather than falling into the hands of Absalom. And so David says to Zadok the priest, "No, take the ark back into the city, Jerusalem. If I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me back and show me both it and his dwelling place. But if he says thus, 'I have no delight in you,' that is, if God says, 'I don't delight in you, David,' here I am. Let God do to me as seems good to him." David is saying, "I am the Lord's servant. And God can do with me and to me whatever he wants to do. And I submit to that gladly, joyfully." David believed in the sovereignty of God, not just intellectually, but he believed in it practically, emotionally. And therein is where I believe we often have battles. The Apostle John reminds us, 1 John 4:18, that there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. There's a sermon. Lord willing, we'll get to it because I plan to go into 1 John soon. But David loved the Lord. And he also had no doubt that the Lord loved him. He was confident in God's perfect love for him. So even in times of darkness and danger, surrounded by death, David could trust his shepherd, who he was confident loved him. And understanding that love, fear was cast out, as the Apostle John puts it. An understanding of God's unconditional love for his people, for you, if you're in Christ, will drive away fear. Paul, Romans chapter 8, verse 36, "As it is written, 'For your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter.'" That is, we're in the valley of the shadow of death. "Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors." Even in the shadow of death, "we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded," Paul goes on, "that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God loves you if you are in Christ. And you are special to him. In fact, the psalmist refers to God's people as the apple of his eye. Precious to him. Loved of him. So be encouraged, Christian. Nothing, whatever, nothing on earth, nothing in heaven, no physical evil, no satanic evil, nothing can separate you from God's love and God's care for you. What's there to be afraid of? God has given his angels charge over you, the scripture says, so that you cannot even stub your toe against a stone apart from his will. By the way, that's Psalm 91, verse 12. Your good shepherd gave his life for you. Won't he who loves you that much protect you from harm, from evil? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou, the living God, the omnipotent God, the creator God, is with me. There's a subtle change in this verse. David moves from the third person, he, the Lord is my shepherd, to the second person singular, thou. He moves from talking about the shepherd to talking to his shepherd. From an impersonal, objective viewpoint, we might say a theological viewpoint, and that's appropriate and that's good and that's okay. But he goes from there, that is from the head, he goes to the heart, to a personal, subjective perspective, practical faith, if you will. And we need both. We need to be grounded in the truth of God's word, in the promises of God. We need to be grounded in sound theology, biblical truth. But we also need practical faith. We need to believe in the sovereignty of God, the goodness of God, the love of God practically in our lives from day to day. As all of the things of the world, the events of life, come flooding in against us. Why does David not fear evil? Because he says, thou, Jehovah God, art with me. My good shepherd, the Lord God himself, is with me. This is a fact. He is confident of this. We could also maybe see this as a prayer, a desire that God be with me. But this is an assurance that every Christian has. And we could say that, especially in the most difficult of times, we can be confident of God's love, that he who gave himself for you, the scripture says, will with him give us all good things. Speaking of Psalm 91, listen to the promises of God in this great psalm. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. The sheep, God's sheep, you, if you are in Christ, are absolutely secure and safe in the care of your shepherd. Regardless of your circumstances, regardless of the threats in your life, you are absolutely protected and cared for and loved by your shepherd. A good shepherd is a perfect shepherd, and he never loses sheep. Never loses sheep. John 6:39, Jesus says, this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I shall lose nothing, but should raise it up the last day. A little later in John chapter 10, verse 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Christian, if you are in Christ, you are safe and secure in your loving shepherd's hand. And you're also in the hand of the Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, the Eternal Father. And our good shepherd has conquered death. That's why we are reminded constantly in the Apostles' Creed and in Scripture, he rose again the third day from the dead. So no darkness, not even death itself, holds terror to the sheep. Perhaps sorrow at parting. Perhaps a sense of loss and even loneliness. But no horror. No black hole of unknown terrors. In fact, Paul rejoices in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has defeated death. And because of that, we do not fear death, nor are we overcome by dread of the valley of darkness. Instead, we look forward to glory. Revelation 21. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, as the Apostle Paul gives a revelation of heaven. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things, the things of this world, the things of this sinful, fallen world, the valleys of darkness, the valleys of death have passed away. And we who sat on the throne, then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Christian, this victorious, living Christ is your shepherd. He is the one who is with you always, even through whatever dark valleys you must walk. If we're honest, we must confess that many times we do not feel the presence of the shepherd. We do not hear his voice. We do not sense his guidance. We don't feel his touch, if you will. And we become fearful, thinking that we're alone and God has forgotten us. He's ignoring us. And we need to be reminded from time to time, if not daily, the Lord is with us. Sometimes the shepherd does this through people. It might be in the form of a note . I'll just make a comment here, a personal comment. I got a few notes after my sister's death. Just simple words, but encouraging words, reminding me of heaven, of Christ's love for his people, of his faithfulness, words of encouragement. There's an interesting proverb. It's Proverbs 25:11. It says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Our words are important. We need to be careful about our words. Our words need to be words of encouragement to people, especially those that are struggling. Sometimes we share with one another just a scripture, a reminder of God's promises, God's goodness. Sometimes words of just simple kindness and goodness and love. It's a hostile world. Valleys of darkness can be overwhelming. God's word is a ray of light, if you will, One of the purposes of the church is to encourage the people of God through the valleys of the shadow of death. Hebrews 10:24 commands us not to forsake the church. In fact, the assembling of the church, so that would be the worship service. And it goes on and says one of the reasons for our gathering is to provoke. And the word has the idea of prodding or encouraging. To help one another to love, to good works, or put another way, faithfulness in serving our God. A couple of years ago, when I had a problem with a kidney stone and experienced unrelenting agony and nothing would relieve it, I was unable to sleep for several days or several nights. And in the darkness of night, in the midst of my pain, God brought verses of scripture to my mind that I kind of clung to like a life jacket. Verses that reminded me, like they reminded David, like they reminded Cowper, hopefully as they remind you, that God has not forsaken us. God is with us. God is sustaining us. God is working in us, and He's working that which is good and in accordance with His perfect, eternal will. There are so many scriptures that remind us of God's presence, that our shepherd will never leave us nor forsake us. So this is one reason to memorize scriptures. Just short verses. Because when you're in literal or emotional darkness, the valleys of darkness, the Spirit of God can bring those scriptures to mind and encourage you and strengthen you. The Spirit of God works through the written word. He works through friends. He works through circumstances. And in all these ways, reminding us that our good shepherd is with us and we need not fear. So that in the words of Proverbs 3:24, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Psalm 4:8. I will both lay down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety, even in that valley of the shadow of death. Life is not always, not even probably usually, smooth and peaceful. Unlike heaven, this world is not always lush pastures and still waters, as the psalmist puts it. Sometimes life is stormy. Sometimes life is violently stormy. And in the midst of those storms, sometimes it seems we're out in the middle of the ocean and the waves in a little teeny rowboat. But no matter how stormy the way or treacherous the path, no matter how dark the valley, no matter how great the evil, if Christ is your shepherd, He is present with you. He is guiding you. He is leading you. He is protecting you. He is your refuge and your fortress. And He's working all these things, even evil, in accordance with His perfect will for your good and the glory of our Savior. So, in the valley of the shadows of death, you need fear no evil whatsoever. No matter how great those shadows might be, your good shepherd, your loving shepherd, is watching over you and protecting you. He is our wonderful Savior.